Hello, City Reach. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father, for giving me the opportunity to speak to everybody my version of how I feel about Esther. So we are going to set the stage as it is, and let's talk about this. This is a time when the Jewish people were exiled, and many of them were living in Persia, and that's where Esther was living at the time because she was orphaned by her parents. And by God's divine providence and grace, the world would say she's an orphan. She's got the walls of failure already upon her head, but God's divine mercy and grace gave her to her uncle Mordecai. Some scholars say that was her cousin, an older cousin. Some say uncle. I'm not that deep. I keep it simple. That's a relationship between me and God. So God gave her a divine elder. That's what we'll go with. And Mordecai, he was a man of faith that chose obedience to God's will over the world's will. And what that means is he was a man that recognized sin was not merely a selfish choice, but a conscious choice of choosing which master you will serve. Okay? So then, God then also gave her divine providence and grace because he gave her beauty. He gave her physical beauty. Don't we all like to look fly and fresh or handsome and dapper with some swagger? Well, thank you, Jesus. He gifted that to me too. Yes. And I know he did you. So thank you for God's divine providence and grace on your life today. If that's all you're going to be thankful for, be thankful for that today if you don't know what else to be thankful for. So then the king's wife that he was married to, she was going to do life on her own terms. She wasn't going to be submitting to her king. She wasn't going to be submitting to no God. She said, I am not going to your banquet. So guess what? In those times, off with your head, or we're just going to exile you. That's what the king got to do, because guess what? He was king. So then he sends his right-hand man named Mr. Haman to go look for a new wife. Well, that's where God's divine providence and grace steps in, because Esther caught the eye of Haman. And Mordecai pulled her aside and said, you zip your lips. You don't tell him your real name, because I don't even know if I can say this. I don't even know if I can say her proper name. It was Hadassah. There we go. Thank you. So that was her real name. He said, zip your lips. You tell no one you're Jewish, and you submit to the authorities. Okay? And what that means is she was just going to walk in obedience, knowing that God was covering her with her uncle's prayers, but also learn the ways of your enemies. Learn your customs, learn how to dress, how to speak, what to say, where to go, how to do it. Do you believe that took 12 months? How many of us are patient enough to learn the ways of others before we judge or we get all in front of ourselves? She didn't. She took the time to learn the ways. So a repositioning of power, because all of this comes about. And the king says, I want Esther to be my wife. The orphan Jew, remember? The orphan Jew that was back there? Guess who's becoming queen now? Well, hooray, hooray. Let's have a day. So anyway, God makes her queen, and she gains the trust so much that the king also assigns her uncle a position in the courts. And he gains the king's trust because he makes sure his ears are open and reveals an assassination attempt against him. Okay? So we're building trust, confidence, and being obedient to God still at the same time. Not pointing fingers, things like that. Just walking it out with God and waiting on God's timing. We got a plot twist. So she's living comfortable. She, you know, she's getting to shop at Nordstrom's and she's getting to shop at Talbot's and she's getting to have some Jimmy Choo shoes and she's getting to eat White Castle and she's getting to eat at all the great restaurants of that time. Okay. She's shut away from the world. She's not seeing all the playful crazy out there. But then she hears of her uncle laying and mowing in the streets, wearing a sack. What in the world? What in the world? I listened to him. I have been obedient to him. And now he's going to embarrass me? What in the world? Send that man some clothes. Send that man. Go get some clothes down at Nordstrom's and send that man some clothes and dress him up right and tell him to get right. Tell him to get right. So that's what her help did. Sent him out. Told him to go ahead. Get him straightened, get him cleaned up. Mordecai says, oh no, oh no. You send a message back. You send a message back and tell Esther what Haman has plotted against not only me, but of all the Jews. His plan, because I would not bow before him like a god. I would not bow before him like a god. That he has tricked the king in writing a decree that all Jews shall be killed. Now, Haman in that time, he was a very prideful man. He was a very worldly man. And he was a very self-righteous man, almost thinking he was a god or should be treated like a god. And in this day and time, I would say he was a racist. Because you don't go around exterminating people, okay? No matter if they insult you, you don't do that. So, the king still trusted Haman. Still trusted Haman. So he wrote the decree. It was sealed. In those days and times, like I said earlier, you don't obey the king and his decrees, off with your head. You're done. It's a done deal. There's no reversing it. It is what it is. It is what it is. Haven't we had those moments in life of it is what it is and we just want to spit on something? So instead of taking it to God in prayer, he took it into his own hands and decided to be hateful, prideful, and choose the ways of the dark master. Okay? And what he didn't realize is the creator created even the dark master. So he didn't realize who was in charge. Okay? So then, when Esther thinks of this, imagine what she was thinking. Just pants, and just tossing and turning in her bed, and just walking the floors, just stomping the floors, and saying, oh my word. Oh my word. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And her uncle points out, and he says, you do realize you can wrestle against the circumstance, or you can wrestle against comfort. You can wrestle against God. But consider this, my dear. You're up there. God has positioned you for such a time as this. Yes. You can choose. You can choose. I'm giving you a moment to choose. Shall you die with the rest of us? Or shall you put your trust and faith in God and choose God's ways? Okay? So Esther's thought about that and she pondered. And she gave it back to her uncle and she says, I tell you what, I realize you are right. You are right. However, you know that the king has not invited me into his court. The scepter is not up. So either I'm going to die as a Jew, being exterminated with the rest of everybody, or I'm going to perish in that courtroom. So I need you all along with me to fast and to pray for 3 days, not 30 minutes, not an hour. Don't you know? Because we all know we have those troubles and say, oh, baby Jesus, please, please fix this. Please fix this now. Mm-mm. She gave it 3 days knowing that She's going to walk into that room and she may die. She gave it 3 days and she asks, because what is it saying in the Bible? Where two or three are gathered in his name, he is with us. So she knew not to only meet her creator in the closet by herself, but to ask for others to pray with her, to fast with her, so she could have the strength, that she could have the endurance, so that she could have the confidence to walk this out with God, no matter what the circumstances, trusting that he will cover her one way or the other. Because this stinking world is pretty stinky sometimes. So what you got to lose but trust God?
Yes.
Trust him, because he's going to take you with him. Mm-hmm. If someone gets rid of you on this earth, he's going to take you up there.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So Queen Esther gets back to all of them and she says, thank you for fasting. Thank you for praying. I'm going in that room. But first, the king comes up with an idea and he says, life's pretty good. Got my second man taking care of business. Got a beautiful wife that's by my side. I got a lawyer courtyard man that saved me from being assassinated. I think I should throw a banquet, he tells Haman. I think we should throw a banquet in honor of a man that is so good to all of us. And Haman's prideful self, thinking it's all about him, he struts on into that banquet, thinking he's going to be honored. But it wasn't. It was Mordecai. Well, didn't that make him want to just spit cinders? His wife's like, you this big old fool. Even his wife was calling him a big old fool. Yeah. And Mordecai still not going to repent, still not going to fess up that he's out to kill everybody, not going to do it. And you know what? He knew that even Esther was a Jew, because he's the one that found her with Mordecai. Okay? He's not going to repent. He's just going to let him evil, sick, mean old nastiness just not even have the scales fall from his eyes. So God says, okay, you won't play it that way. Then there's a second banquet. This is the time where Esther reveals of Haman's plans. Haman's plans to exterminate not only all the Jewish people, but where she confesses that she herself is a Jew. And the king's eyes were open and the scales fall off and his ears are open and his heart is open to hear from his wife. And he looks and he tells the soldiers, Go on and hang this man, Haman, the very gallows that were meant for Mordecai because of obedience. Yes. Not once in the book of Esther that I know of, or anywhere else in the Bible, only in the book of Esther, God hides himself. So when you're in the trenches and you're saying, where are you, God? Why have you not showed up? Throwing your fits, crying out, determined, if you don't get here by tomorrow, I'm going to go do it my way. I'm going to get into my feelings, and I'm just going to do it my way, because I must obviously know best, because you're obviously busy, God. Busy creating another universe, busy doing something. Oh, no, no, no. For such a time as this, for such a time as this, I encourage you, no matter what your circumstances is to stay obedient to God by praying and fasting.
Yes.
And seeking the will of God by getting into the Word, by praising him and giving thanks every day.
Yes.
Giving thanks for your beauty, giving thanks for your air.
Yes.
Because he will work it all out for your good if you're patient and don't get in the way of God, and know that for such a time as this, as in Romans 11:36, from him and through him and to him are all things, to be the glory forever and amen. thank you for letting me share my version of how I interpreted Esther. I'm no pastor, but I can tell you of the goodness of God in my life. Of He will heal you. He will transform you. He will cover you. He will sustain you. And through He's calling to you today for an intimate relationship with Him. Let all the other stuff go aside and let Him handle that. And you just keep your eyes on Him. Thank you. Have a good restful prayer and worship time here with us at City Reach. God bless.
God bless you, City Reach. What a powerful message Amy just gave to us. As I was listening to her, I was thinking about Queen Esther and how when God doesn't appear to be anywhere in that, because God is never mentioned in that book, as Amy said, even when He doesn't feel like He's there, you still position yourself at His feet. And as you position yourself in prayer and in fasting and you come before Him humbly, He is going to take care of you. And so not only was she able to posture herself before the Lord and the King of Kings, but also her husband, the King, and was granted access because of that. And so I want you to know that even in the midst of not knowing if God is there or not, He's got your back. He's taking care of you, and you will see evidence of it in the favor that He gives to you. And so today, I'm just so excited as we have been passionately pursuing Christ this month and just learning about these amazing women of God that really committed themselves to worshiping God, what they saw happen. I never, ever want us to leave a service where we don't offer you salvation. It's really not a gift that we can give to you. It's a gift from God. The Bible says that God sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And that is in John 3:16-17. And so today, I want to offer you this free gift. And all you have to do is three things. We call them the ABCs of salvation. The first thing is to acknowledge and admit that you're a sinner. I mean, we're all sinners. We sin all the time, right? And the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have to admit and acknowledge that we are sinners in need of a Savior. That's A. B is to believe. You have to believe that not only did Jesus die for your sins, but He rose again. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know about you, but that is something powerful to understand, that He died for you. Before you were born, He understood the sin that would be in your life, and He died for you. So first we acknowledge, then we believe, and then the third one is we confess. You know, I talk a lot about confessing and speaking things, and this is where we have an opportunity to confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just have to tell Him that we believe Him, we acknowledge Him, we believe Him, and we know that He is our God. We want Him to be our God. And the Bible declares in Romans 10:9-10, if you declare with your mouth, that means confess. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe that in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. There's no question about it. You will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And again, that's Romans 10:9-10. That's what we call the ABCs of salvation. We acknowledge and admit that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. And we confess. We confess with our mouth and profess that He is Lord. The ABCs of salvation. If you're ready to make that commitment today, I want you to say this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. I am so excited. Right now is a time of celebration. I don't know if you can hear that or not, but there's a host of angels rejoicing on your behalf because you just made the most amazing decision of your life. And I'm rejoicing with them. We're here to help you celebrate this new life and journey that you're embarking on. If you said that prayer with me today, I want you to type the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, all in, and text it to 609-831-3377. We want to do life with you. We want to walk this journey of Christ with you. We're here to pray for you. We're here to support you. And we want you to be a part of what God is doing at City Reach. We love you. God bless you. Have an amazing day on purpose.